since 1775, generations of Americans have fought for our ideals and our principles. American warriors secured the freedoms to create the United States of America.
They fought to end slavery.
They joined with allies to win two world wars.
They have responded with valor and honor whenever called.
And they have liberated more people around the globe than any military in the history of the world. Our all-volunteer forces of guardsmen, soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, and reservists continue the mission begun at Lexington and Concord.
Less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces.
The least the rest of us can do is to pay attention and get engaged. This program is produced and broadcast for that purpose. It is presented live and worldwide
at 1041kqth.com.
To engage, call 520-751-1041. The American Warrior is on the air.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. I tell you what, it's days like this that I'm so glad to be broadcasting out of the KQTH studios here in sunny, warm Tucson, Arizona. During the 1992 campaign, presidential campaign, Bill Clinton challenged America's with his Rebuild America initiative. Following his election, Clinton directed the Department of Defense to search for innovative programs that would serve communities in need while providing valuable military training benefits. In parallel, the Senate Armed Services Committee noted in their 1993 Defense Authorization Act, "The American people have made an enormous investment in developing the skills, capabilities, and resources of the armed forces. These resources, if properly matched to local needs and coordinated with civilian efforts, can be a useful contribution to addressing the serious domestic needs of the United States." The eventual result has been a program named the recipient of the Harvard University's Bright Idea Award. It's called the Innovative Readiness Training Program. It provides high-quality mission essential training for active duty, guard, and reserve personnel while contributing to American public and civic needs. Now, of most interest to this host, it also provides an exceptional opportunity to strengthen the bond between American citizens and the U.S. military. Today on American Warrior, we'll be talking with several members of our military participating in one of those projects right now as we speak in Kodiak, Alaska. So joining us, it's going to be a chock-full show, but joining us first is Major Anna Hill. She is the IRT Program Manager for the Air Force Reserve Command. Major Hill, we got you.
We are here.
Well, now, Major Hill, thank you so much for coming on the show, and thanks to Luke for setting us up. It is going to be, what, 38 degrees in Kodiak, Alaska today?
It is very balmy in Kodiak. Yes, 38 is the projected high.
Suntan weather.
It is, considering it was about 20 degrees when we got here about 3 weeks ago.
Now, how long have you and your personnel been there and based out of Kodiak?
I got here on the 16th of March with the bed down crew, who prior to the medical main body rolling in, we were here for about 4 days. We had to set up the tent city and set up all of the infrastructure to receive the main body of troops who would actually be providing the care to the island of Kodiak. So I've been here since the 16th of March.
Now, I tell you, Major, I saw a photo from last year's exercise there in Kodiak, and it was fascinating. I mean, there was, I think, every branch was represented. How many personnel do you have on Arctic Care this year?
150.
Okay, and all the branches are represented?
That is affirmative. We have Air Force Reserve, Air National Guard, Marine Reserve, Navy Reserve, Army Reservist. So we've got the full spectrum of capabilities.
Now, Major, give us, let's start from the 30,000-foot level and sort of drill down throughout the program. Give us sort of the overview of the Innovative Readiness Program and its mission and some of the different sorts of projects that the personnel perform during these missions.
Well, you did a tremendous introduction of the program. You've obviously done your research. But as you stated, IRT, or Innovative Readiness Training, is a civil military affairs program which is run out of the Office of Secretary of Defense for Reserve Affairs. It's a joint service program. So we, as we said, an Arctic Care is a perfect example of bringing every capability from the military services. So we predominantly focus on medical support and civil engineering infrastructure support throughout the United States. So we can have a variety of projects on the medical side, which Arctic Care is an example of, where we bring basic medical services, dental, optometry, and in some cases veterinarian services to communities in the United States. On the civil engineering side, we have a vast array of capabilities across the military spectrum. We have supported nonprofit organizations such as the Boy Scouts of America, to Southwest Indian Foundation in Gallup, New Mexico. So we do things whether we're helping extend a runway, refurbish a Boy Scouts camp. There's basically you bring us a project and we can pretty much figure out a way to do it.
And I tell you, the one of the projects you mentioned last year, if I'm not mistaken, Major, there were 30 projects that took place under the IRT that were funded by the Office of the Secretary of Defense. There's an additional, I think, 12 projects that then bloomed out of that. So a total of 42 projects were handled last year. And you mentioned one of them that really touches near and dear to us here in Arizona. You've built over 250 homes for low-income families on the Navajo Reservation up there on the New Mexico-Arizona border. You mentioned Camp Hines, the Boy Scout camp, you know, everything from roads to cabins to ranges. What a great idea this whole thing is.
It is. It's a tremendously rewarding, not just for those of us who have the great honor of running this program for our respective service, but for our service members who come and bring their skills, because we have so many skill sets across the military spectrum. I can't tell you how many phone calls and emails I get in my office with providers, not just within the Air Force Reserve Command, but other services as well, going, I really, really want to participate. How do I get involved in these? Because they see it's such a tremendous honor, not just to wear the uniform every day and serve our country, but we have just, you know, an additional honor to give back to our fellow Americans in this country. So it's wonderfully gratifying.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about Arctic Care and that specific exercise that's taking place now up in Kodiak, Alaska. But two questions, Major. One is, one of my favorite parts of this, because the mission of American Warrior Radio is to educate and inform the 99.5% of the population that never served. I found a quote from a person with the Delta Regional Authority in Kentucky talking about one of the exercises last year, and she said, a lot of our communities are so removed when you come in there with this uniform on, and you come across a kid who's never seen someone in uniform before. You bring dreams to kids that otherwise probably would not have them. How important to you as the manager of this program is it to have that interaction in areas where folks may not see the military that often?
Well, as a citizen warrior, or a citizen airman, as we say, it's tremendously important, because not all of the United States gets to see this capacity and what we bring. Many people have an image of the military, and this helps bring, you know, just an added aspect or added facet of, yes, we are ultimately a go-to-war force. Ultimately, that's why everyone puts on the uniform, is to serve and to protect and defend the United States of America. But we have so many other things that we can give back to our communities. I can tell you, as a school teacher, I taught high school in North Carolina for 12 years. I viewed it as my personal responsibility to educate my students on not just the active duty component, but also on the reserve component. So many things that our reservists and guardsmen do, and not just my students, but many of my colleagues would just marvel at what, not just me personally, but the commitment that is made when you put this uniform on, because it is truly a commitment to something that is greater than yourself.
Okay. And what, as the program manager, the commander, what is the value that you see? Because this is great for the communities, but also these are specialists that are getting training and using particular equipment that they will use when they deploy into, in some cases, maybe remote locations. So to you, what is the value of the training aspect of these projects?
Well, and you hit on a very key point there. First of all, you said deployed. And Arctic Care is probably what we would call the capstone event or the quintessential event for this year. And in that you have to do so much strategic planning, just like we have to do when we go downrange. So we have been planning this mission for approximately 9 months, putting all together not just the medical providers in conjunction with what CANA or the Kodiak Area Native Association has asked us to bring, but not just bringing the medical providers, all of the supporting staff and capabilities, the food service, the bed down, the comm, the aerial port individuals who help us plan the loads, plan all of this equipment, and put it on airlift and bring it here so that we can support. So from my perspective, and I know that I am particularly biased, but there is no greater platform than to plan and hone our wartime skills in IRT.
Wonderful. Major, thank you so much for coming on American Warrior Radio. We're going to spend the hour talking about the IRT and Arctic Care. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like more information, they did 30 projects last year. They had over 60 communities apply for these projects. If you'd like more information, visit irt.defense.gov, and you can find out how your community can qualify for this and just the wonderful job that our citizen warriors are doing out there. Stick around, folks. This is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We'll be right back.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, folks. Your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking about a program that, frankly, you know, I consider myself pretty informed, but I just found out about this program, thanks to Luke Johnson. It's the Innovative IRT program. And right now, they did 30 projects across the country last year. As you heard our previous guest, Major Anna Hill, talk about, this is one of the capstone programs. It's called Arctic Care, and it's taking place right now up in Kodiak, Alaska. And now joining us to talk about the specifics of Arctic Care is Senior Master Sergeant Amy Stultz with the 940th Aerospace Medicine Squadron. Amy, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Thank you.
And is it Stultz?
Yes, Stultz,
okay,
correct.
We're in good shape. So you are also living the dream up there in 38 degrees of beautiful Kodiak, Alaska.
Yes, we are.
Now, Amy, it's interesting, sort of following this on the website, I saw some photographs that Luke has posted about the different folks lining up for care. Principally, the assistance being offered through this exercise is dental, medical, optometry care. But I also found it very interesting. I saw a picture of lots of folks lined up with their animals. You're even providing veterinary care for some of the folks up there in Alaska?
Yes, we are. That's one of the services that they specifically requested because of the limited veterinary services here on Kodiak.
Well, now, talk to us a little bit about that, Amy, because I think some of us, in my day job, I do economic and community development, and when you're evaluating, for example, a housing project, you're looking for grocery, for medical services within a 5 to 10 mile radius. In Kodiak, Alaska, that doesn't quite apply, does it?
Right, right.
Well, I mean, what are some of the challenges that folks up there face when it comes to just, I saw a survey where something like 11% of the population is foregoing basic services altogether, principal among those being dental and medical services.
So I couldn't speak on, you know, what exactly they have out here available. I can tell you that Canada specifically requested these services because, I imagine, because the need is there. I can tell you that our dental services and our optometry services, as well as the veterinary services, are the highest demand of all the services provided.
And so literally, well, just keep in mind, Kodiak itself is not a very big community, is it?
It's not.
So you've got about, 13,000 people there in the community itself, many of them military, but you're not just there in Kodiak. As the major mentioned, there's a logistical component to this in addition to the services, because you're moving personnel out to different villages, different islands?
We are. So we have five teams. One team stayed here at the AC clinic, in Kodiak, and they set up a clinic in a grocery store, an abandoned grocery store, basically. So they had the experience of setting up a bare-bones clinic, bringing our equipment with us, our war readiness equipment with us, and setting that up in there. In the villages that we're going to, they have established clinics there. However, they don't have optometry for those villages, and they don't have veterinary services. So those clinics are getting set up in either schools or some of the community facilities there.
And so, now, Amy, are you going out? Are you staying there in the headquarters, or are you going out to some of these villages as well?
I primarily stay here. We had hoped to get out to some of the villages and just check on things and see if they needed any support from us. However, weather has been a bit of an issue for that. So I've been stuck here for most of the time.
Wait, weather in Alaska? Huh. who'd have thunk it? Now, Amy, where do you normally report for duty?
I'm at a Beale Air Force Base in Northern California.
Okay. And are you also a citizen airman?
Citizen airman? Yes, I am. I'm with the Air Force Reserve Command.
Okay. And what is your day job?
I'm actually full-time with the Air Force Reserve. So we have, you know, there's a few folks per unit that are full-time. They kind of maintain everything and prepare for all the members to come in for the UTA or the drill weekends.
Okay. And what have you observed so far, Amy, as far as, you know, I got excited about the opportunity that this program creates for citizens, civilians to interact with the military in a special sort of way, where we're really leveraging the resources of exceptionally trained personnel to benefit our communities here on the home front as well. What sort of feedback, or have you had an opportunity to interact with any of the citizens up there who are taking advantage of this program?
We've had a ton of appreciation. The folks bring in gifts and food, and they're very grateful for the services provided. I don't get to get out there myself a whole lot, but I do talk to some of our participants, and they've been sharing stories of the thank yous that they're getting from the community.
Now, I understand there might be some kind of a big feast coming up.
CANA, Kodiak Area Native Association, is going to sponsor a dinner for us on our last night out here. So, yes, we're looking forward to that.
a nice welcome break, huh?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Amy, dig down. The major mentioned something very interesting that at least struck me. You know, I think about these programs. I think about dentists. I think about doctors, nurses, mm-hmm. You know, veterinary technicians. But there's also, you know, particularly in this case, and I don't know if this was part of the reason that Kodiak has been chosen or not, other than the need, but just the logistics and the ability for other personnel to hone their skills in a, with all due respect to Kodiak, somewhat of a remote location. What other sorts of disciplines are developing their training and skills during this Arctic care?
So you're absolutely right. There's just a team of services folks that we would not be able to accomplish the mission without. So we've got our services members who have set up expeditionary kitchens. They've managed our bed down, setting up the tents, the cot assignments, helping establish where folks are going to sleep when they're in the villages. We've got personal accountability folks that manage accountability for the 151 participants. They're assisting with admin support at the talk. Because of the weather, we've had to change the location of where we set up our tent city. So we've had to manage ground transportation to and from showers and the dining facilities. And so that's been, they've managed that part for us. We also brought a combat communications team out here, and they've provided all our network operations. They supplied a member who's run our power and HVAC systems. They set up a comm focal point for us and really managed that program work very well. We've got aerial porters out here. Our aerial porters have managed all the airlift, so all the movement of passengers and cargo to the villages. And they've worked along with the Alaska Air National Guard, who's provided the helicopter support. We have obviously a great public affairs team, and they're getting their training done as well, and reaching out to you folks to get this story out. And then, of course, you know, the leadership team that functions in the talk. So definitely a lot of folks have to come together to make this work.
Now, do you bring in all the equipment? I'm thinking specifically, now, y'all are being hosted there by the Coast Guard, correct? Or you're at their facility principally?
We're our tent city is set up on the Coast Guard base, yes.
Okay, and I think I read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, that is, if not the largest, one of the largest Coast Guard bases in the country.
You know what? I wouldn't be able to speak to that one.
Okay, let's radio. let's just go with it. Let's assume that's a true statement. What do you say? But you know, you mentioned helicopters and other air transport, and I'm assuming all this equipment, do you have air units that came in from other parts of the country as well, or is it all being provided by the relatively local guard units?
Actually, no. We pretty much brought in all of our own equipment. We used some C-17s, some C-130s to bring in some the equipment from other locations.
Okay. And just while I've got you, you know, just want to suggest that maybe next year we should do an American Warrior remote live from Kodiak. Do you think you could support that?
You'll have to speak with Major Hill on that, but absolutely, I'm sure she would love that.
Okay, well, we'll put that one off a little bit. What have you seen on the ground there as far as the value to your airmen or and the sailors and the Marines and the soldiers for the, not just the practical aspects of practicing mm-hmm. their craft, but the interaction that they've got with the civilian population?
For these folks, I think what the biggest value that I've seen is they're having to problem solve kind of on the spot. So we're not, you know, walking into established clinics. We're not walking into an established base. So, you know, problems are going to happen. Things are going to have to get figured out. And these airmen, sailors, Marines, and soldiers are having to, you know, figure these things out right then and there and come together, work together, learn each other's lingo. And they do. They've done a fantastic job. The first day of clinic, they started, troubleshooting those issues and getting them fixed very quickly and started a pretty smooth operation within the first couple hours. Same with our services, our support teams. Just a lot of kind of, again, just fixing things on the spot.
Okay. And just to clarify, you know, you're providing care to these folks. I mean, these are trained professionals, they're licensed professionals, they're certified to provide the care that they're giving, correct? You're not just taking somebody fresh out of basic up there and have them draw blood.
Right. No, and the training is more in where we're set up and how we're providing it. Exactly right. The professionals are well trained. It's just practicing in a contingency type environment is where the training comes into value.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, Senior Master Sergeant Amy Stoltz, 940th Aerospace Medicine Squadron, thank you so much for your time and contributing to this show. Folks, as your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia, when we come back, not only is this a great training program and provides a benefit to the communities that it appears in, but when we come back, we're going to tell you a story about one specific individual whose life might have been saved right there in Kodiak, Alaska because of the IRT. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia, here on American Warrior Radio. We're talking about a program that I just learned about. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that, but it's just a fabulous program that emphasizes something I've always believed in. And the fact that we've got these exceptionally well-trained men and women in our military who are very often going overseas and helping other communities, but this is a program that allows them to help communities here domestically while practicing their craft and developing their training for when they do need to deploy overseas. We're talking about the Innovative Readiness Training Program, and in particular, Operation Arctic Care is the name of it. It's a program that's taking place in Kodiak, Alaska right now, where they're providing dental and medical and optometry services, even veterinary services for some of the underserved communities up there. This is essential not just for training, but I tell you what, folks, our next guest here is going to talk about something that I think hits directly to, if you'll pardon the expression, to the heart of the program. Our next guest is Captain Anna Cruz. She's with the 624th Aerospace Flight Group out of based in Guam currently. Is that correct, Captain?
That's correct.
And so you're not a resident of Guam. That's just where you happen to be posted currently.
I am. I was actually I'm born and raised on Guam, living there, and then also joined the Air Force there.
Okay. And there's something now, Anna, we broadcast all over the country, all over the world. We have listeners, but we do broadcast right out of Tucson, Arizona. And there's something special about you, Anna. And what might that be, among other things?
So Tucson is very close to my heart. I am a graduate of the University of Arizona. 2010, I got my master's from the School of Nursing, and then in 2016, I just completed my doctorate in nursing. So I love Tucson.
Well, especially today, I'm guessing where it's, what, I don't know, 70 degrees here today, and you're in 38 up there in Quebec. But that's some beautiful country up there in Alaska. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Now,
just missing the warmth.
Now, Anna, I have a question. You're a nurse. I read something somewhere about the volunteer aspect of these programs, and I wasn't sure if that meant, obviously, everybody that serves in our military today is a volunteer, but for these sorts of programs, are you assigned to go to Arctic Care in Alaska? Do you volunteer for that additional training, a little bit of both, or how does that work?
So it's a little bit of both. They send out the notice that they're recruiting for the different specialties, so the dentists, the doctors, nurses, and you actually, in my case, you apply, and then your command has to approve, and then you're put, I'm not sure about as far as administrative who chose us, but you apply, and then you're chosen to attend this training.
Okay, and now, at which point in your medical career, Anna, did you choose to join the Guard and Reserve? Was that during, before, or after?
So when I graduated from high school, it was 2001, and I really wanted to join at that time, you know, September 11. And so I got nervous, I got scared, and I backed out. But then after I finished my college, I said, you know, I still have that calling. I still want to serve. And so I went ahead and contacted my recruiter and ended up joining about 4 years ago. So I'm a late start, but I don't regret it at all. I'm loving it. I wish I had decided sooner, but it's never too late.
Well, there you go. Perfect words. Well, it's too late for me. I'm too old and too fat.
Yeah.
But now, Anna, you were involved in performing services, doing checkups for folks there, and Luke mm-hmm. shared a story to me that just really, really struck me as just very powerful about what an impact this makes on people's lives, in this case, literally, I think. I'm guessing you probably know the story that I'm talking about. Why don't you share that with our listeners, if you don't mind?
So the population we've been seeing here, it's a very underserved community. So a lot of these people haven't had many preventive health checkups. So we're getting a lot of hardworking people coming in with underlying chronic diseases like hypertension, heart disease, diabetes. And I had this one gentleman who had been experiencing chest pain for a while now, but then in the last couple of weeks, it's been a little more pronounced, and he hadn't been to a doctor in over 10 years. So when I did my exam, I found that he had a really significant heart murmur. We call it a pansystolic heart murmur. And then just going along with his history, what he'd been experiencing, we recognized that, you know, he needs more care. He needs to be seen right away and actually get some intervention done. So we referred him to the hospital so that they can do like an echo, look at the heart, because it sounded like a lot of restriction was going on there. And he was able to get that right away and identify that he needed surgery rather quickly. And they coordinated that, and we're going to medevac him over to Anchorage for surgery. So, you know, just getting that guy in, evaluating him, recognizing it, and getting him the care that he needed. Otherwise, we could have had a very different outcome, you know. These people, because their insurance sometimes doesn't cover as much of the services as they need, and they're working maybe paycheck to paycheck, they avoid going to the clinic because they're scared of how much the bill is going to be in the end. So just looking at it from that end, if he had kept putting it off, what it could have turned out to be. So those kind of things are really great to catch and be able to help identify, get them in the system.
Well, I mean, as a professional whose job or whose charge or whose passion is helping people not only improve their lives but save lives, Captain, I mean, I'm trying to picture in my mind's eye, you're literally sitting there with this patient, and I mean, that moment at which I'm guessing you tell him, say, look, you stay right here, we're bringing a stretcher, you're going in for, you need to see a doctor right away.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was his reaction? I mean,
you know, they're grateful for the care that we're providing, and especially he has his wife with him. It's the two of them, and they're an elderly couple, and they're both still working here in Alaska. So It's nervousness, but then it's also appreciation that I would think they're experiencing, because they know that they're going to get the care they need. At least the wife is very grateful because, you know, somebody is telling him from a professional side that, yes, this is not just something that you can push off, chest pain, because sometimes we do, that you need care right away. So I'm sure it's very relieving for her, for the wife, to hear that her husband is going to be okay in the end.
Well, I mean, no bones about it, Captain. I mean, you saved a life.
Thank you.
No, you know, it's my show. I can say that. I you saved a life. And that's just, you know, we talk about, and I look through the programs that IRT has performed over the years, and they're really great things, and they're homes for the needy, and roads and transporting equipment and stuff. But holy cow, I mean, this one experience that you had, that you contributed to there, I mean, to me, that there couldn't be a better example of one of the main reasons why this is so valuable to our nation.
It's pretty awesome. You know, we come here with a bunch of boxes and people that we've never met before, because we're all reservists or guard members from across the country. And within a day, we're working together to set up a whole clinic. So we've got a medical clinic with a pharmacy. We've got a dental clinic with dentists doing fillings, extractions. We've got an optometry clinic where they're getting prescriptions made for these people. And this is like all these people coming together and working together so quickly to make it happen. It's a pretty awesome experience, definitely a great training experience for us. So I'm a nurse practitioner in my civilian job as well as my Air Force job. But some of these people, you know, airmen warriors, citizen warriors, in their civilian jobs, like Major Hill, she's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But we have corpsmen or medical technicians. This is their chance to really hone their skills. This is our annual training, so to brush up on making sure we know how to take a blood pressure accurately, assessing a patient accurately. So this is invaluable training for them, and then just having to do it from start to finish, because we built the clinic and then we're going to help break it down again and working through all the problems. So it really makes you have to think outside of the box, a lot of critical thinking skills. So definitely a invaluable training. And the greatest part, like you mentioned earlier, is that we're doing it in our own country. So we're actually helping our people as we train.
Absolutely. So, Captain, thank you so much. Now, is this your first Arctic Care exercise or first RIT exercise?
It is. It's my first, but hopefully not my last.
I was going to say, after that experience, I bet you want to come back. And personally, I'm hoping you do come back. So thank you so much for your service, Captain. And thank you for literally saving one of our fellow citizens' lives.
Thank you.
Of course. Folks, if you want to get more information, you can go to irt.defense.gov. If you have a community or a nonprofit or someone that you think would qualify for this exceptional training and services that would benefit not just the community and the project, but also the men and women of our military, go to irt.defense.gov and find out more about the application process. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We got one more guest coming up. Stick around, folks.
Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, here on American Warrior Radio. We're talking about the IRT, just a fabulous program of the Department of Defense that allows our military personnel to go out and get some training, practice their deployments, to basically prepare when they do have to deploy overseas, but at the same time, they're helping local communities and our very own citizens. We're talking about Arctic Care, which is taking place right now up in warm, balmy Kodiak, Alaska. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been to Alaska, it is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, but can be somewhat of a challenge, and you've heard our guests talk about that. I mean, just simple logistics of having to leave your community and maybe fly or take a boat somewhere just to get a pair of glasses. So this is a great program, and we're wrapping up. We're going to go Navy now. I think we're going to go Navy with Hospital Corpsman Third Class Kiara Schuster. Kiara, you are Navy, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd always confuse the Navy Marine Corpsman. I thought so. There are Navy Corpsmen.
Yes.
Not just Marine Corps. Okay, thank you for that. Well, I tell you, Kiara, Luke says you are a hard charger. They put you in charge of doing the cleanup batting on this show, so I hope you're ready to go.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. Now, what is your day job, if you will, Kiara?
In the civilian world?
Yes, ma'am.
Civilian world, I work in child care. So
okay.
Not really what I do around here, but it's still rewarding.
Okay, and so as a corpsman, it's well, what are you doing as a corpsman as part of Arctic Care?
As Arctic Care, I was brought in as like a general duty corpsman, so I don't really have a specialty per se. They brought me in, and I work the vitals table in our triage area. So as the patients come in, they get triaged, and they'll get their vitals taken, and then wherever they need to go from there is where we'll send them off after.
Okay, now we've got a people may listening around the country might find it odd. We do have a pretty decent Navy contingent here in Tucson, the Navy Operational Support Center, about 300 personnel out there, many of them who are corpsmen. Kara, how did you get from daycare to corpsman? Did the Navy provide all that training for you?
They actually did, as far as the training that I have had, boot camp, corps school, just any of that. And then to get up here, I just, as Captain Cruz said, I also had to apply and get accepted and came up here to help them.
And what has been your experience? What kind of share with us how it's helped you not only hone your skills, but the interaction with the civilians or the people you're interacting with up there in Alaska?
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm just a basic general duty corpsman, so I haven't really specified anything in general. I get to work wherever they put me, really, and get to learn a lot of things. Like I have been doing dental and doing fillings in dental and exams and capturing X-rays and getting to look with the doctors at the X-rays and really seeing what they're looking for. And I spent a lot of time in the veterinary clinic with the Army people in there also, and they've been amazing. I haven't really ever been in a veterinary experience like they had put me in, and it was just amazing learning that and getting to be just a more well-rounded individual and our corpsman as well.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because we spent a lot of time talking about the help that you've been providing the humans. But our four-footed friends as well. I'm guessing a lot of people up there in Alaska have got pets, dogs in particular, and I think most of us wouldn't necessarily think about that as part of the military role. But then I got to thinking about it. Well, we've got canines. We use a lot of animals in our military services, and I'm guessing you have to have folks that take care of those animals. So the people there are all Army vets or veterinarians?
Yes, sir.
And what sorts of things have you observed? What kind of help are they providing to folks with their animals?
For the animals, they come in and get their vitals taken, really any immunizations that they need, rabies, and then if they would like to be like spayed or neutered, being younger dogs or even older ones, that we have a surgical vet, and she's been absolutely amazing getting people in there and learning, training with the kind of surgeries like spaying, neuter.
Okay, and have you found this? You might have mentioned this before. If so, I apologize, but this is your first exercise like this?
It is. I've been doing a couple at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. Those have been my last two, and then this one is my first one actually getting to be with people. So I'm really excited about it.
And what has been the value to you of the training experience? I mean, when you go back to your hometown, your home base, if you will, how much of a better corpsman do you think this is making you?
Oh, completely. This just turns my perspective around completely and makes me, like, if I do ever get deployed or even in a situation where something happens, I have a little bit background knowledge. I may not be an expert in the field, but I have that little bit of background knowledge where I can say, oh, hey, I did this at the IRT, and I can kind of jump in and do whatever I need to do, or even being like easily teachable and a quick learner with this hands-on training that we're getting here. Just it really helps me back home getting the same thing. If anybody needs it.
Now, I don't know if you have a chance to really discern, but I don't know what percentage of the 150 personnel that are there with you in Kodiak, this is their first training experience as well of this type. Have you had a chance to talk with your fellow military personnel there and sort of get a sense of what their reaction has been and the value that they're getting out of this?
Yeah, there's quite a few of us actually that haven't been on an IRT as well, and just all around the training that everyone gets is really amazing.
Okay, any specific details? I mean, we shared the story with Captain Cruz in the last segment about literally someone's life being saved. Have you experienced or witnessed any other of those sort of specifically touching moments? I mean, I'm guessing the community is grateful. They're going to throw a big feast for you guys before you're done. But are there any other personal stories or observations that you've seen, Kiara, that you would be willing to share with our listeners?
Actually, I was working that vitals table, and we had a man come in with his dog and get his vitals taken and such. And a couple of days later, he had returned, and his dog had a little it was like, I think it was a Starbucks bag, and it had a little piece of carrot cake in it. And his dog was carrying it in his mouth, and he had come over, the dog sat by me, and then he dropped the bag by me, and he said, thank you very much, and kind of walked off. So that was super rewarding, and just they're all so, so grateful that we're here for them.
Now, that's a pretty special story, particularly given that the dog is the one that
yeah.
I'm not sure how he paid for it. I hope he didn't just walk out with a carrot cake. But
oh, no.
I should have asked this before in the program, but Kiara, these services that you all are providing for the residents up there, this is completely free of charge, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it's one of those cases where the funding is coming through either the individual departments or the branches, I should say, or the Department of Defense?
Yes.
Okay. Let me run something else by you, because I found this very interesting, and to me it also plays into the importance of this sort of training. Several years ago, we had a very tragic situation where there was a mass shooting here in Tucson, and one of the wounded was our Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. The wounded were all transported to University Medical Center, which is our trauma care center here, and lots of great professionals. But I've talked to some of the people that were there on duty at the time, and one thing that was emphasized to me that I found very interesting was, it's not that the doctors and the nurses and the folks there were not well trained. They were all well trained, but I've been told that one of the main differences was a couple of the physicians in charge at that time were also military personnel. So it wasn't just the medical skills that they applied, but it was also the experience of having mass casualties, trauma patients like that, that made a huge difference and helped save lives there. Do you, Kara, as you're doing this, and granted, I'm guessing, you know, Kodiak's not quite the same experience, but as a corpsman, can you judge that value to us of not just your technical skill, but also the military training and what a difference that might make at a point where you might have to use it?
Oh, absolutely. Being like a general physician where you go through school and stuff, I love sitting in a classroom and learning that way, but being in these trainings, you get specific hands-on training and just going through everything. Like, I not once when I was working with the dentist here, he had me sit down and read a book on, oh, hey, this is how you do it. No, he showed me exactly what to do, and that's specifically how I learn as well, hands-on, but it's just super valuable to me learning that way, and I remember things that way, and I'll take it with me forever.
Now, again, as a non-professional myself, it's interesting to me that it's not just the training and the hands-on you're getting, but some of the equipment that a professional might use in their day job, let's say if you're a doctor or nurse, that's not necessarily the equipment you'd be using if you're deployed to a remote location as well. So are you, to you, is there also the value of being familiar with different tools than you might have on the home front?
Absolutely. Like you said, the tools we have here are not what you would see in a clinic back home. All the tools we have here are stuff that we would be deploying with, and things might be limited, and we might have to make things work with what we have, but in the same sense, you're learning from what you do have and making things work.
Wonderful. Well, like I said, Kiara, you are the bat, the cleanup hitter here, if you will. We've got about 2 minutes left in the show. What have I missed? What else would you like to add? What do our listeners need to hear about not just Arctic Care, but the IRT and the value to you and your fellow service members overall?
Oh, absolutely. It's just not only a big impact to the community, giving back directly to people in the United States and working with hands-on and stuff, but it's also incredibly great training just for us And I don't think a lot of people understand that as well. We're helping them, but we're getting an amazing amount of training and just working with the stuff that we would be deployed with. And it's absolutely amazing for me.
Will this influence your decision of maybe where you want to go with your career?
Actually, yes.
Okay, tell us about that.
Working in the dental clinic has really inspired me a lot. I've always loved going to the dentist, but I never really liked the idea of being in people's mouths and stuff. And I actually got the chance to do an extraction the other day and pull out some teeth, and I just really enjoyed that. And yesterday I got to do a little bit more with just general exams and with people, and that has really influenced me, and I'm actually really starting to look into a dentistry field now.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a first for me, Kiana. You're the first person I've ever met who actually likes going to the dentist. So note that. That's an American warrior first. Well, Corpsman Third Class Kiana Schuster, thank you so much for your time. Thanks to all of our guests. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that this program could be of value to our community, you can actually apply to have an IRT come to your community or help a project that you're working on. Visit irt.defense.gov to get more information about that. They had over 30 projects last year. You just heard about Arctic Care, which is a tremendous program. Thanks to all of our guests who took the time out. They're going, I'm guessing, straight back to work helping the citizens of Kodiak, Alaska up there. Luke, thank you so much for setting this program up. Ladies and gentlemen, another great American Warrior Radio show. Check out the podcast, AmericanWarriorRadio.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Player FM, and Stitcher.com. Like us on Facebook, American Warrior Radio. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, Warrior Radio TUC. Thank you so much for your time, folks. Share the message. Take care.